CBSI in the World. I'm John Batzer with Gaia Vince. Her new book is Nomad Century, How Climate Migration Will Reshape Our World. We begin with the migrants of the global south needing to move because of the four horsemen of the Anthropocene, which is the debatable era replacing Holocene as where we live right now. However, there, what can go wrong and why? We know it. It's in the news already. Borders, or the interception of human traffickers in the Mediterranean or in the North Sea, turning back people who are looking for anything better than where they're coming from because of climate change and because of bad governance. Bad governance and climate change tend to go together. It might be a phenomenon. It might be a one-to-one correlation. But I mention the fact that we're all migrants. Gaia, it's not only my family and all of our families here in America. Reading through a history of Julius Caesar, he built his reputation on his brutality towards the tribes of Germany and France that were moving in Gaul. That he slaughtered them in great number and bragged about it back in Rome. We've been moving for thousands of years, and it's determined our histories. But borders were important to the Romans. Borders are important here in North America. What needs to be done about borders? How do we rethink our borders?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. We've been moving not just hundreds of years, but hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, we're an ape that evolved in somewhere in Africa 200,000 to 300,000 years ago. And look at us now. We live literally everywhere. We've colonized the globe. And we did that through migration. And we did it through exploiting the human networks that we have across the world. And we all have those. We all know people from diverse parts of the world. That's 6 degrees of separation. And that's how people move. They move through connections that they have. And at the moment, we recognize that for economic productivity, we must increase the flow of goods, of money, of culture, of services, resources, all of those things. But weirdly, we limit the movement of our biggest economic resource, which is human labor. We put up these borders which stop that flow. And, you know, some economists reckon that we could at least double global GDP by just removing borders. Now, that's quite drastic. I don't know if we would be ready to do that or if it would be wise over the coming decades. But it's quite clear that the border restrictions we have reducing human mobility at the moment, many of which are actually very recent, certainly within the last sort of century or so, they're not fit for a world that is being rocked by this enormous global climate catastrophe, which is currently exploding everywhere around the world. We are going to have to rethink that. People are going to move, whether we like it or not. It's much, much better if we manage it, if we plan for this movement, and if we figure out a way to make this work to the advantage of everybody, to the advantage of host countries, countries of origin, and of course, the people involved. And that does mean investment. It means investment financially in places that receive these cities that will need to expand. It means investment in housing, in adequate access to healthcare, to education, to all of those things that you want from your society. But it also means investment socially. This very, very key element means that we must invest in the idea that the migrants aren't bad people, that migration is not some aberration, that it's not morally wrong, that we all move. We need to invest in that, and we need to invest in this whole idea of inclusivity, of expanding our societies, of accepting this flux in population and making it work for us.
We have a legacy, however, that has brutality and cruelty. You very quickly summarize the U.S. Aliens Act of 1905, the U.S. Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, the White Australia policy that was in place until 1973, and the Immigrants Act of 1900 in the United Kingdom. So the North Temperate Zone has treated the global South as if it is an unwanted creature, something that is invading us like a virus. That needs to change. Is it, Gaia? Is that being addressed by those who concern themselves with climate change?
It's absolutely not. And this is absolutely key to the problem that we face. I mean, at its heart, it's racism, it's tribalism, and it's generated by all sorts of different things from fear of losing your job, fear of being overwhelmed by other people that want the same access to services and so on. These are not the fault of the migrants. There is so much evidence now out there that migrants, they actually increase productivity. When it's managed well, they increase productivity of cities. They don't reduce wages. They actually raise them. They don't increase unemployment. They actually reduce it. They don't increase crime rates. They reduce it. There is so much evidence from across the world, from multiple cities in the United States, from Israel, from Europe, from across the world that this is the case. But unfortunately, we are living in a time of increasing nationalism, of populist leaders, and this very worrying ethno-nationalism, this idea that a people belong to a place by merit of what they look like, of how much melanin they have in their skin. And first of all, this is biologically completely inaccurate. We are so closely related that you can't tell where somebody's ancestors are from purely by looking at them anymore. And we're incredibly mixed up. There is more genetic difference between two chimpanzees living either side of the Congo River than between two populations of people living on different continents. We are the same. We are the same. And we need to accept that. We also need to accept that migration is going to happen and that it is largely going to be from the global south, who have largely darker skin than the people currently occupying most of the global north. So that is going to happen. To what degree it happens and how it happens in terms of the disruption to our society, these are things that we can do something about. We need to challenge this anti-toxic, anti-migration narrative, this anti-refugee narrative, this idea that asylum seekers are criminals. It's firstly untrue, and secondly, it's poisoning our societies. It's very divisive. We need to challenge that, and I don't think it's being adequately challenged at all by centrist leaders, centrist parties, let alone by left-wing parties. I think there is a timidity in challenging that, and we need to address it because it's. You know, actual populations, when they're surveyed, are far less xenophobic than some of these leaders.
Yes,
we all recognize that our economies rely on immigration.
Your book made me smile, Gaia, because here in the United States, there's this discrimination between people who are refugees from abusive governments and what is called an economic refugee. I said, of course, an economic refugee. What are you thinking? The economy improves when they're here. Yes, we need 35 million workers before 2050 in the United States, or is it 2030? You need them in Britain as well. We all need
them. We need them across the entire global north and large parts of the world, actually. We're facing a demographic crisis where people are just not having enough babies to support an elderly population. And the way to solve that is through immigration.
Let's go to the new north that you build for us. Gaia Vince, the author of Nomad Century, How Climate Migration Will Reshape Our World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.